So we've been discussing the topic of Tchlaso BePeshia V'Sofo BeOnes. And what we started to argue last week was that there is an initial way one might analyze this question, but it gets more complicated. Meaning, one might have suggested that in order to say that Tchlaso BePeshia V'Sofo BeOnes Chayiv, your Chayiv, and that your Chayiv, even if the ultimate death of the animal has no causative relationship with your negligence, the one natural way to explain that would have been to say that the negligence in and of itself is what makes the shomer, the guardian, liable. That it doesn't really matter what happens to the object that you are watching. Once you commit an act of negligence and make the animal susceptible to danger in a negligent way, you are liable regardless of what happens to it. You're liable from then. So last week we already began to suggest that that's not the only way to explain that idea. That you could explain that even though you will be liable, even if the ultimate cause of death is not necessarily linked to your act of negligence, you could still say it's not the act of negligence itself that ultimately makes you liable. So just to do a brief review of some of the options we mentioned last week, especially because I wasn't personally. So the first we saw was the Ramban. The Ramban argues that Misha Shapasha Nases Birshuso, that the effect of negligence is that the moment the Shomer commits this act of negligence, the item is in his jurisdiction, it's in his authority, such that he will be liable for anything. So what the Ramban is arguing, and just like, for instance, in the case of a shoel, somebody who borrows an object, he is accepting a responsibility upon himself from the time that he borrows it, that no matter what happens to the object, he is liable for it. The liability may come when the object actually is compromised, but he's accepting liability because he's getting it for free. When a person is negligent in their care for an object, that adds a degree of responsibility such that no matter what happens to it, it's yours and you have to take care of it. That was the Ramban's argument. So again, the Ramban's not saying that you are chayav from the time of the actual negligence, but you do accept responsibility from that time for anything that happens afterward. So that was the approach of the Ramban. We saw the Rav of Soloveitchik suggests slightly differently. It's not that the focus is much on the Pshia, but the focus is on the nature of Tor Ones generally. Meaning, we generally say that a guardian is not liable if the object they are watching is damaged or destroyed because of something that was beyond their control, because of Ones. However, says the Rav, that exemption of the guardian from a case of Ones is contingent upon the guardian fulfilling his responsibility as a guardian. But once the guardian is negligent in that responsibility and is not acting as a shomer, he loses that exemption, and therefore he will be chayav for onsin. So it's not as much that the pshia is mechayavim, it's that Ones is mechayavim because he no longer has the patur Ones. That was another approach. The third approach may be the hardest to explain on a rational level is that of, I would argue, the Maharal and the Baal Itzer. And what they argue is that, taking a step back, what is the idea that the Ones would need to be mechamas pshia? The argument would be that in order to be mechayiv someone for their negligence, there needs to be a link between the ultimate death of the animal and the negligence. So one way of establishing that link is in a causative way, that your negligence caused the death of the animal. What the Maharal and the Itzer argue is that you do not need a causative relationship to link the negligence to the ultimate cause of death. And I like the way the Itzer actually says it. What he says is negligence is not just relevant to the actual death of the animal, negligence infects the entire shmira. Says that once you were negligent in your guardianship of the item, then you are negligent for anything related to that guardianship. So the negligence has infected the entire scope of your guardianship, and therefore, regardless of what happens, we view that as a function of your negligence. So those were three different interpretations we've seen until now. Again, not necessarily arguing that the pshia is mechayiv, but arguing that because of Pshia, you will be chayiv in all cases of Ones. That's what you've seen until now. Before we get to the other perspective, I just wanted to review something we sort of went over quickly last time, which is one of the exceptions to this rule. So take a look at source number 10. And this is on the second page in your source sheet pamphlet. So this is in the Gemara on Lama Bava Mabez. The Gemara says as follows. Just a quick background. We have this machlokas between Abaye and Rava. It's the case where the guardian was negligent and let the animal that they were watching leave the property and it ventured out into an agam, into a meadow, and died naturally there. So the Gemara says, Umode Abaye, Abaye, who generally holds you are liable no matter what, right? The ihajul of Imara Umesa Pater. That if the animal returns to the house of the owner, then you are exempt. So again, according to the Rabbi, what happens was, you were negligent, you didn't lock up the gate which encloses this animal, you let it go. The animal ventures out of the gate, and then it's susceptible, you were negligent, anything could have happened to it, but what happens? It's your lucky day, right? You're sleeping on the job, and you wake up, and what happens? The animal is back in the pen. Nothing happened to it. Then what happens? It dies naturally. Now, I could have argued that what should happen doesn't matter, right? You were negligent and ended up dying. Okay, so that's a bias sheet. A bias sheet is that we, once we're negligent, we hold you liable for what happens to the animal. Says the Gemara, no, then your pots are my time. It returned. You can no longer say that the heat of the meadow was responsible for its death, that the heat of the meadow killed it. Once it returns, it's hard. You no longer can hold the guardian liable. So at first glance, this would seem to very much argue against the notion that Shia in and of itself is a liability. Meaning, if you're going to argue that an act of negligence in and of itself makes you liable, that by not locking the gate of this pen, I already should be chayiv at that point, so why should it make a difference if it comes back? It's somewhat hard to explain. So, if you go with one of our other pshatim, it might be a bit easier, but I'm wondering, how can we explain this? Anyone have any suggestions as to how to explain this idea that if the animal returns back to the pen, then you will not be chayev?
It's as if it didn't leave.
As if it didn't leave, meaning?
The reset on the shmira.
The problem is just the last five words.
Right, good luck.
In other words, if you had said, Daha Hadrala, yeah. I'd buy that. I'd even be willing to argue you reset the Shemira.
Right.
But once you say, no, it's because then you can't say, it's a very practical consideration.
Right. So, and this is a good point. This is certainly a good point. Meaning, the question, we saw Machlokas Rishonim, whether Abaye needs Hava Da'ag Maktala for both the opinion generally, Chlas of Hashiva Sof Omeis Pater, or the opinion Chlas of Hashiva Sof Omeis Chayav. So you could argue that, according to, let's say, the Rif is the one that holds that if you hold generally Tlaso B'Shiva Sopo and Eschayev, Abai says if you don't care about Havad Agam Tala. And this point is simply to address the other opinion that generally you will not be Chayev for an Ones, in even if you were Poshea, specifically in the case where it dies because of the Havad Agam. That's where Abai is saying, well, it's your fault. So in this case, when it goes back, we're not going to say, well, it probably got infected by the Hava Da'agma in the meadow, and that's why it died in the pond. I mean, in your house. But I think on a very basic level, what you do see is that even if you'll argue that Pshia is a Mechayev, it doesn't mean that the act itself alone, without any effect on the object, is enough to be Mechayev. I mean, the point is that Pshia is negligence. Negligence means not just that you did something that wasn't right, but it has to make an actual impact on the safety of the object or the animal. And that's the point. So long as your act of negligence still is having its impact and effect on this animal, then we call that pshia. But simply not locking the door is not a mazik in the same way that taking your hammer and smashing a window is. The point is it's the impact it has on the animal. So I think what we see from this source then is that even if you want to take a very extreme position that negligence, let's say, is a mazik, but it won't be the same type of mazik as, say, a regular mazik. Negligence is a mazik so much so that it makes the object susceptible to danger. The minute that it is no longer susceptible to danger, and the impact of your negligence is completely irrelevant at this point, then Pshia will no longer be Machayev you, according to everybody. Fair? Okay. Yes.
How are you translating Mora? The Beit Mora?
Master. So this is a good question.
Is it the Shomer or the real owner?
So this is a good question. It's a good inference. The Rishonim I saw say that it doesn't make a difference. Meaning if it's the Beit Shomer also.
It's a huge difference,
meaning
if it returns to its real owner.
Then,
it wandered off and returned to its owner.
But you still weren't Mas.
No, true. But it's there in the owner's pen.
Which is why he would be Pasher.
Which is why he would be Pasher, right?
In both cases.
But maybe if you return back to the renter or the Shomer or whoever it is, maybe that's different. I
hear why you might have said that just based on the words, the Veimar. Right? Yeah. It's a good diuk. It's definitely a good diuk. I think right, Torchiner's point is a good one, which is that I think the way to differentiate would be to say that there is the reason you are Pater is because you were Machzir it, meaning you brought it back to its owner, then it's not your fault. But it doesn't seem you've really done that just by returning it to... Yes, you want to argue.
No, Lamaisin, Hachoshomer. In other words, if I borrow something of yours and I put it back on your property without telling you, or worse,
right.
It wanders off and goes back to your property on its own and you don't even know and it gets damaged, I'm Chayiv still.
Right.
That's
we'll get to
that. Completing the Shmira.
Oh, so
right.
We don't say that the Chotzer is
right.
Dangerous.
Correct.
Right.
But I just wanted to ask you, according to that last point that you had said just now, that something of your Pshia must affect it, then why did you bother mentioning the Hahadrala? The Maitaima? Like a Lememar Havla de Agmakala?
Taha.
You know, the Hahadrala is irrelevant.
I think the relevance of it, the way I understand it, is that the Pshia was that it left the base Beimara. That was the Pshia. The Pshia was that because you didn't lock it, it left Beimara. Hahajla says, now the impact of that Pshia is no longer relevant.
But you could have taught a much bigger lesson if you had left out the Hahajla. You would have taught that in the case of Pshia, as long as your Pshia has nothing to do with the damage, you're not chayav. That would have clarified a lot. We wouldn't have needed 3 weeks of shiur on the chas of shiur self bonus anymore. You would have just said, "Do you see what I'm saying?"
I don't think we're just saying it has nothing to do with the ones. I think we're saying that the whole impact of the pshia itself has been neutralized. Meaning, it's one thing to say that the way it died ultimately didn't have anything to do with what you did. It's nothing to say that. In what way were you negligent? You were negligent in that you let it out of where it belonged for no reason, without any sort of protection. Now it has returned to where it belonged. So it is as if you were no longer poshea. I think that's the Hahadrila.
You said that when you're poshea, basically you lose the patur of onus. Not that no matter what, you're going to be held accountable.
Right, that was the Rav. Okay, fine. So why would that help you? Oh, it died in the end. So why would you... it did die. Like, the animal died. It died in the owner's house. That's the point. Let's take a look at the way Meiri explains it. Maybe this will, if source number 11, it'll clarify it a bit. It says, Meiri, Yumode ba'ayi shem chazra min ha'agam leves ha'ba'alim o leves ha'shomer b'ri'usa b'lo shem choli ha'nikrlanu. So he adds that it's not scot-free. If we can tell that the animal was indeed impacted by leaving the pen and going to the agam, then you will be chayiv. But Abaye admits that if the animal returns from the meadow to the owner's house or to the guardian's house, which relates to Tommy's question, with complete health and no sickness, that is recognizable to us, umesa and daisha potter, that you are exempt. Shari nistalka hapshishia mikol vakol, that the negligence has been completely removed. Meaning it's as if you were no longer poshea. You say like a restart of the whole shmira, right? It's starting over again. It's a new cycle. The pshia is gone. Even though you did the action that we call negligence, but that has to have an impact on the actual safety of the animal. Okay, so moving on to the second, if you take a look, now we're going to move to the page number 3, I believe. Approach number 2, defining Muhammad Abshia. So again, we had this argument as to whether or not the onus needs to be related or causatively to the negligence. So we explored the opinion that it does not. What about the opinion that it does? Right? What about the opinion that we only will be Mechayev you and Nechayev Satchilasov Abshia and Vesov Onis when the onus is machamas habshia. So again, the simple explanation would be, what would you have suggested?
You know,
why does, yeah?
It's not really onus. It's just the onus comes at the end, but...
Ah, okay. Nahum's going a little further. The simple explanation, at the very least, you would say that you're ultimately not chayiv for your act of negligence. You are chayiv when the animal dies, right? That is what is machayiv you, and because you were posheya, and that's what Nathan's adding. Even though it was an onis, because you were posheya, we don't really look at it as so much of an onis. So that I think is how the Rif ultimately explains it. However, I think if you look at Tosfos, it's hard to argue that it's ultimately the onis that it makes you liable. Take a look at Tosfos source number 16, top of the page. This is an excerpt from two different Tosfos, which are pretty long, but I think these lines here illustrate the point. So Tosfos here is commenting on our Mishnah on Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, which discusses the case of the rental where you rent an animal and you disobey the instructions of the owner. You throw out the manual. You say, I don't care. I'm going to bring it wherever I want. He told you to bring it to a valley. You bring it to a mountain or vice versa. And then the animal dies. So Tosfos asks, Huchama Bahar Pater. It says in the Mishnah, if the animal is heated up on a mountain, which is a terrain which has more air, and we generally would assume makes the animal less susceptible to heating up, you are exempt. He says, Vimtamar Lamanda Amrila El Tchilasa Bibshia Vesofa Bones Chaya Vamai Pater. According to the opinion which says that Tchilasa Bibshia Vesofa Bones is exempt, why in this case are you, sorry, according to the opinion which generally says Tchilasa Bibshia Vesofa Bones is Chayav, why in this case are you Pater? Ha Tchilasa Bibshia Hayala Inyan Hochlaka. You were negligent when you brought it to the wrong terrain, because by bringing it up to a mountain, you made the animal more susceptible to hochlaka, which means to slipping and falling and getting damaged. So even if it dies otherwise, you should be liable, says Tosfos. V'yishlomar de lo machayiv el ba'onis. So I would have said here, lo machayiv el ba'onis, that is caused by the pshia. Right? That's what you could have said. Tosfos can answer, you're not chayiv in a case where if you bring it to the mountain, it gets heated up and dies because of that, because it had nothing at all to do with your negligence. That's not what Tosfos says. Take a look. It's sheyesh litlos, that we can assume, shem lo haya mishana, that if you wouldn't have changed, veered from the instructions, efshar, it's possible, shelo haya ba'onis. It's possible, you could suggest, that had you not been negligent, maybe it wouldn't have happened. Not if it's not that you're only chayav if we say that if you wouldn't have been negligent, it wouldn't have happened, but just to say that it's possible, had you not been negligent, this wouldn't have happened. You take a look at the next Tosfos. So here, and this is a very relevant point, and the Gemara on Sadi Gimel Amud Aleph, again, the case was where you had a shomer, you had a guardian who was watching, or a shepherd rather, who was watching sheep, and it's customary for shepherds to leave, you know, they get their coffee hour. So, you know, everybody has their coffee hour, and the shepherd leaves at that time. And that's when all the shepherds leave. And at that moment, what happens is the sheep are attacked by a herd of wolves or lions or other dangerous wild animals. So the Gemara there says that we say as follows. If we think that the shepherd could have saved the sheep had he not left, the Gemara says that in a case where you leave at a normal time, thank you, if you leave it at a customary time during coffee hour, then you are exempt. If you leave at another time, if you leave inappropriately, when shepherds usually do not leave, then we've asked the following question. If it's a case where had you not left, like Mark says, if it's a case where had you not left, you could have saved the animals, then you are, then you're pater. Then you're chayiv. But even if you had left, you wouldn't have done anything because it's just too dangerous. Then you're a potter. That's the Gemara says. Then the Gemara asks, but wait, according to the Manda, Amar Tchilas Shiv Shiv, so bonus chayiv. So, shouldn't you be chayav? Even if you couldn't have done anything. The very fact that you left the animals inappropriately should make you chayav no matter what. That's the Gemara says. And the answer is, well, no, because the case was where you were in Poshea, the reason you left is because the lion came and chased you away. Fine. But the upshot of that Gemara is that, indeed, if you left the sheep at a time which was inappropriate, you were negligent in doing so, according to the Manda Amar, you will be chayav even if it wouldn't have made a difference. Because if you had stayed with the sheep, there's no way you would have taken down that lion or that herd of wolves. So Tosfos is bothered by this. Why? If we're going to say that you're only chayav when the onus is machamas apshia, where your negligence, the negligence leads to the actual death of the animal, it's irrelevant here. Even if you had stayed, you wouldn't have protected the sheep from the lions. Says Tosfos, Yesh Lomar, and this is the second part of source 16, well, maybe if he had stayed, he would have rushed the sheep away to another field before the lion came. Maybe it would have just happened to be that at that moment, when the lions came around to your field, you would have brought it to another field. Who knows? Or maybe the lion would have been afraid. Right? Because, and another reinforcement quote, because Marachem v'chichem, yeah, that lions and animals are afraid of humans. So maybe the lion would not have come, even though you wouldn't have been able to defend the sheep from the lion, but it would have been scared. Oh, hey, Mekayim be'gam esarius adov higadacha, right? You would have gone to the phone booth, broke out your Superman cape, and fought off the animals. Who knows? You know, maybe, you don't know, but maybe you are a superhero. And maybe you would have proven yourself had you been there. So what is Tosfos essentially saying? Can we really say that the reason the animals died was because you left? He's saying maybe. There's a chance something would have happened if you hadn't been negligent. Contrast that with the Rif, right? So you take a look at source number 17. So first of all, the Rif says, how do we explain the Gemara on Sada Gimel Amud Aleph? It's according to Shitas Abaye. Abaye is the one that holds that we don't care whether the onus is machamas apshia. So that's why Abaye is in that very Gemara. That's why the Gemara is bothered. That's Abaye Shita. But we, Halach Lamasa, says the Rif, we don't hold like Abaye. We think that even if the animal dies after your Pshia, if the Ones is not connected to your Pshia, you will be Pater. And in fact, the Rif and the Rambam, and we'll see a Shulchan Aruch, all paskin halachically, that if you could not have saved the sheep, even if you were there, you will be exempt no matter when you left. That is what they hold. So the Rif explains that this is not a problem for Ava. So take a look at source number 17. We don't hold like this. We hold like Rava. Generally, we hold that whenever Rava and Abai have an argument, the halacha follows a Rava, except for six exceptional cases. But don't we think that chilas shav shiv sop onis chayev? Hani mili dinyatrinu ba'orcha dahavin iti rusli in midi, psiusli in midi acharina. That's when you watch the object in a way which is a appropriate method of watching it in terms of one danger, but is negligent in terms of another danger. And there was another way to watch it. If you had done that, the ones would not have happened. Does he say maybe, possibly, could be something would have stopped from happening? No, he says it would not have happened. Lo hava matala onsa. Hilka. Afagav the isnas machayev. Therefore, even though there was an ones, you're sachayev. Damrinon ilad the pashabal in yonahumi the acharina lo havamatala onsa. If you had not been negligent in another way, the ones would not have happened. He says kagonah damrinon bahudak juzagabechavre. Like in the first case where somebody leaves money with their friend osvina but srifa the irvini, you leave it in this hut of willow branches. The ignivu and they're stolen. Amar of Yosef Afagad Inyan Gaminiti Rusuhu Inyan Yurup Shiusuhu. Chalas Rashiv Isopa Ones Chayev. She says, even though in terms of them getting stolen, you hid them, that was a good way of preventing them from getting stolen, since if a fire had come, would have burned down the hut and burned the money with it, that was negligence, and therefore a chayiv. Why? To eat, says the Rif, to eat kavrinu ba'arek and to omer shmuel k'safim in the shmuel b'karka, if you had buried them underground, and that's the standard for watching money, you have to bury it underground, lo hava mignivi, they wouldn't have gotten stolen. If you had done your job, this wouldn't have happened. Velo mitli hubunura, they would have, and they wouldn't have gone on fire. Hilka mechai b'gneva, va'afagad the honest, yilad de pashli inura, lo hava nisa. And this is why we generally say you didn't watch it appropriately. So to summarize, and I think he repeats this argument again and again, but the point is as follows. Why are you generally puter from ones? Because we say there's nothing you could have done. There's nothing you could have done. There is no way to guard the object from that danger. It would have happened. There's no way you could have prevented it. Ones rachmana patri. That's often what it means. It's not your fault. You couldn't have prevented it. But in a case where there was a better way to watch it, which we expect from you, and you didn't do that, and had you done that, it wouldn't have happened. Then we can't say my havelel mevad. We can't apply ones rachmana patre because it's not true. So, and it's a very smooth. The point is, the Rif says ones is generally patre because my havelel mevad. And according to this opinion, at least in the case of chilas of shiva sova ones, we can't say my havelel mevad, and therefore you're chayiv. But in a case where maybe possibly you would have been a superhero, or you would have happened, you know, to have, you know, a bit of hashkacha pratis, and you would have brought the animals to another place, that's not the same thing. Can you say my havelel mevad? Can you really say, well, you could have done otherwise? Not necessarily. Very likely it wouldn't have made a difference. So this is the argument of the Rif. And I think, as Natan's saying, to formulate it in a succinct way, the Rif is essentially saying, chilasu b'shia b'sofa b'ones chayav means it's not really an ones. It's not really an ones, because you could have done something differently and it wouldn't have happened. Ones means it was uncontrollable. This is controllable. That is the argument of the Rif. Contrast that with the Smog. Again, echoing Tosfos's idea here. Says the Smog in source number 18, the Sma, rather, the commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Shel Gimel, af shesofo ba'ones, even though the end of the animal was through an ones, in the shum tzad ba'olam. If there's any way in the world, Lomar, ilo haya pasha, lo haya matzil, there's any way to say if you would not have been negligent, it would have been saved. Is there any possible theory you could come up with? Chayav, reliable. Maybe you would have been a superhero, whatever it is. If we could say that, you are chayav. Okay, so how do we explain this Tosos? How do we explain Tosos? Why does it matter that theoretically you could have saved it? But probably wouldn't have. It's hard to say that the problem is that, oh, because the reason you're chayav is because you weren't there and you didn't pull a superhero act. I think, I would argue, that the one compelling way to explain Tosos is to say that, indeed, what is machayav you is the pshia. It's the act of negligence that is machayav you. Why then does Tosfos require this? Maybe it's possible, had you been there, something would have been different. Meaning, on the one hand, Tosfos requires this machamas apshia in some form. On the other hand, Tosfos says that machamas apshia is not very compelling. I think the answer is as follows. Ultimately, Tosfos is saying, we need to find a way to connect your negligence to the death of the animal, in some way. So the point is, you are chayav for negligence, and the chiyuv is, once you are negligent, for any type of danger or impact that happens to the object that can be connected to your negligence. And to also suggest, as long as we could claim that in some way your proper shmirah would have made a difference, as long as we can say that, that's enough to connect the ultimate death of the animal to your negligence and your chayiv for the pshia. retroactively. The point is, the Pshia at that point is mechayev you for any death that can be connected to the Pshia. Okay? Yes?
Could you even try and say that in the case of Huchaka with the mountain, that the animal is more likely to slip in the mountain? In the mountain, and you took it to the valley, and therefore you're putter. But you could say, you know, if you had taken it to the mountain, the animal would have known to be more careful. So why putter? Why not say just because it was more likely, but maybe would have been more careful in the mountain region and the valley? The animal
right, thought it would be right.
Well, this, how far does this go? We could say anything if like that.
So I hear your question, especially in light of the Sma. However, the Tosfos is addressing that exact question by saying Hayashum Sadba Olam. I think Tosfos' argument would be, if your action should have had the opposite impact, it should have made it less likely. Right? So for instance, let's say you bring an animal inside the pen, and in some way that's negligent, I'm not sure how. And then specifically inside the pen, there happens to be a robber you didn't know in the pen, and then they take the animal. So it's hard to argue that, well, you know, you're bringing it into the pen in any way. Like, I think there's some limit. The point is, if it has the opposite effect, that it should make it less likely, then I think that would be the limit of Tosfos. But I think it's a good point. Just that at some point it gets to semantics as to like 1%, 0.01%. Tosfos has to say at that point, okay, that's where that's not Machmas Pshia at all. There's no, we can't say if you would have done it, then this wouldn't have happened. So this brings us to another question, which is there any limitation to how likely it has to be? Meaning, I'm negligent. Do we have to say, well, there has to be an at least, you know, 25% chance that, given your negligence, that would have happened? Or no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how unlikely the ultimate cause of the animal's death is. Take a look at source number 19. The Shach here in Siman Reish Adi Aleph quotes a Tshuvas Mar Shach. Says the Shach, I am Tshuvas Rav Shimon HaKohen. Kasa de Efshar de Be'onis Loshkia Klal. Maybe we could say that if you have an ones, an unfortunate death, which is not frequent at all, no one would have called that. No one could have predicted that would have happened. Maybe then we won't say tchilaso b'shiyev v'sop ones chayev. There is a certain standard of frequency the ones has to meet. He says, they don't nearly claw. Shah says it's wrong. I don't get that at all. Who cares? Doesn't matter how frequent it is. So I brought you, it's a very interesting tshuva, the Shem Marshach. Marshach is Rav Shlomo ben Avram HaKohen. He was a rabbi in Macedonia right after the era of the Shulchan Aruch in the 16th century. And he's a very interesting tshuva on this topic. I have to say it. It's fascinating. So I brought you much of the question. So take a look at source number 20. Ruvain Shayalo Chanosha Begadim Bishuk. So Ruvain has a clothing store in the marketplace. Uporeya Hayal Shimon Leo Yoshiv Mocher. So he pays Shimon to sit in the store and sell clothes. Fine. Liyamim hutrach Shimon alechas lebeso. Shimon at one point needed to go home. V'yaniach hachanos chetzia pechzucha kedera kol yotzei hachanos asher daitam lachzor. So he says he left the door a little bit open to show that I'm coming back soon. Like, you know, stay put. Now, I don't think this would have been done in the 21st century. You don't leave your door half open. But that's what they did. That's what they did back then. Right, one of the officers in that city took from many of the merchants some clothes on account. I'm not paying you right now. I don't have the money on me. He said he didn't have any money at the time. When he returns from fighting the war for the king. Yud Resh Hei is some sort of acronym saying how great the king is, I imagine.
Oh, Hashem should protect him.
Hashem should protect him. Yifra Kol, then I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back when I get back from the war. Right? Very very convincing. I'm sure everybody's very excited to give their merchandise to this officer for free. Anyways, Ki Yeshlo Lekaba Mosa Koshadina, right? That in Constantinople, I'm going to get money. Fine. Ve'ein Potzel Al Pel Mitzatze. No one responds. No one says, no, I'm going to make you pay. Keish gadol b'tugarmim. He's a great man amongst the Turks. Misyar menuayu. They're very afraid of him. So he needed another, when he left, he needed a beged Salonika, like a certain type of garments from Macedonia, for one of his servants. He went into Shimon's store, right? Shimon's not there. Shimon left the door half open. And he went home to take care of something. This officer goes into Shimon's store. She takes the garment that Shimon had. He pulls out a 10 amos worth of it. He cuts it off. He was in a hurry. He didn't want to wait till Shimon returned. And the hour is pressing. We haven't heard from this Turk in a long time. Maybe he died at war. So now what do we do? Right? Do we hold someone liable for this baguette? So there's two questions to ask. One question, and I didn't bring you the whole tshuva, but Reuven says he was posheya because he left the store. You'll tell me that's normal? Well, what? What if it was normal to just give your merchandise away for free? Would you do that? Right? It's like if people jumped off of the cliff, would you do that too? So it doesn't matter if it's normal. And he says, number one, it was posheya. Number two, well, maybe if he had stayed, he would have called off this Turk. He would have said, no, I'm not giving it to you. Get away. I don't care what you say. Maybe he would have prevented this from happening. That's Shimon's claim.
I thought it is okay if it's normal to do it. Wasn't that the case of the...
Right. Okay, so good. So that's one consideration that to consider is, does the fact that it was normal make a difference? We generally say that's for a Shomer Chinam. That's for a Shomer Chinam, we say that, I believe, that, but by a Shomer Sachar, it's not clear whether or not we think that... Could we do? Maybe you're right. I think that's part of the problem. I mean, if you're right, you're right. The Marshach says that it's not Pshia, because like, look, he had to go back, and that's a whole discussion, which I didn't bring for you. And then the response is, well, but we have another case where if you do two jobs simultaneously, right, moonlighting, so then you are Chayev, but this is different because you weren't doing two jobs, you were just leaving to go home, and you weren't
doing one job.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's an interesting argument, but he says you're inav ala soch ala asora. Even though when you go home, your eyes, you're still thinking about the merchandise. I'm not sure what you're thinking will really do, and anybody comes take it, but
is
fine.
Is he allowed to bake though? Is that like part of the?
So it was normal, right? So that's what the Mara discusses. Kinatri
and she. And the inav ala asora means where I'm doing my second job, where I can still somehow, somewhat take care of the first one. Like I can see the merchandise.
Right. I hear you. This is
now,
what he says.
Now you left.
It's strange. I thought that was a weak argument too. That's what Marsha says. So first he says it's not Pshia. Second, though, he says as follows. Let's take a look at the Avshar. Even if it was Pshia. The Avshar, the mind of Yamrian Chasub Pshia, so Boyan Chayav, Hanu Be'onsa de Shkiach, O Shkiach Velo Shkiach. When do we say Chasub Pshia, Vesopa Ones Chayav? That's a frequent Ones, or somewhat frequent. The Bechia Gamna, Ibayele La Suki Adite, Shibosa, Paul Shosa, Yera Osa Davar. Because if that's the case, then you could say that he should have realized before he committed that negligent act, well, he should have known that committing that negligent act could lead to that outcome. Well, because you were negligent, maybe so-and-so would have happened. And since you began with negligence, you were liable. An ones that's not frequent at all. Ein makom l'chayvo. There's no way to obligate him. Even if you'll say that he was negligent by leaving the store open, he never would have thought that this Turk is going to come and take this clothing. And for all the more so that it wasn't negligence to say that Shimon had to leave and therefore he left the store. As long as he didn't go for another business reason. So Marshach says, number one, it's not Pshia. That's a separate argument. Number two, it doesn't matter if it's Pshia because any onis, which is so infrequent, there's no way he would have thought about that. That won't be Mechayev you.
Did
consider that so infrequent that when you leave the door open, someone may come in and take something?
The Turk would cut him in, and
it's going to be the general.
And number one, and number two, that number two, I think the point also is that you would have done anything about it. Meaning, okay, like, let's say you stayed. What are you going to do? Like, really, you would have fought the Turk? No one in the whole town was telling this guy to go away.
It's not that the Pshia is not Shliach, it's the onus.
Right. Exactly. So again, you see, I think pretty clearly, the Marshach is certainly within the school of thought of the Rif. Right? It's not that maybe, possibly, it could have happened. It's that because you're Pshia, that's ultimately why the onus happened. It's that the onus is not really an onus. We can apply Ba'ilei La Suketaite. Lo'i Ba'ilei La Suketaite. However, the Shach is following the guidelines of Tosfos. Meaning it's not that, you know, it's not an onus and therefore a chayev. It's that the Pshia was mechayev you, and the onus can be connected to the Pshia because maybe had you not been Poshea, this wouldn't have happened. So that's one difference between these two opinions, and it is actually a lot of difference, as we'll see. is whether or not you will be chayav in this sort of case in a very infrequent ones. That is the difference between Tosfos and the Rif and the Marshach and the Shach. Good. So before we, the next thing I want to discuss, which many have raised, is there a difference between degrees of negligence? Meaning, so far we've discussed what impact does negligence have on what degree of negligence, what impact does a negligence have on your liability? But could we suggest, and I think it's pretty logical to suggest, that maybe it depends on how negligent you were. Maybe there are different degrees of negligence, and if you were very negligent, then that will result in more liability, and we'll say either that you've been kona it, it's in your reshus, or you're already liable from the time of Shia, and a lesser negligence, maybe it won't have the same effect. So it might not be a question of, does Shia make you liable as much as, does this type of Shia make you liable? You see that in the Rashba and the Riva. So you take a look at source number 21. Here the Rashba is commenting on a case the Gemara has, which is Shomer Shamashal Shomer. So a person gives the object from one guardian, and then that guardian gives it to another without permission. So Gemara talks about why that would be chayev. So there are two theories. One is that I don't want you to give my object to anybody else. The idea is that if I'm giving you the object, I only trust you, and I forbid you from giving it to anybody else. The other theory is that it's not as much that, that in and of itself is the problem, giving it to somebody else. It's more that I don't believe them when they take a shvua. Right? A guardian has to take a shvua that they weren't negligent in watching the object. And the owner says, well, I only agreed to believe you, but I don't believe this other guy. Fine. So The Rashba says as follows. So the Gemara says that, well, Abayas asks Rava as follows. He says, wait, if you're really going to tell me that we say malcha maves malihacha malihasam, right? That when the animal dies naturally, as Rava says, you can't hold the guardian responsible because it would have died anyway. You can't guard from the malcha maves, the angel of death. So what about a case of shomer shamas l'shomer? Meaning one guardian gives the object to another guardian, then it dies naturally. Would that Malcha Maves not have killed it in the first guardian's jurisdiction? Certainly he would have. It doesn't make a difference who's watching it. So that's the question that Abai asked to Rava. So Rashi says as follows. So the lo dami, Pshia, the Shomer Shamasta Shomam Pshia Zu. You can't compare, and this is Rava's, he's interpreting Rava's response. You can compare the negligence of Shomer Shamashla Shomer, of a guardian who hands over the object to another guardian, to this negligence. If the theory behind not giving the object to another guardian is that the owner says, I don't want my object in another guardian's hands, Poshea Gomorhu, that is complete negligence to then give it to that Shomer. Umidaachamir Shuse Misar Shomer Acher, Havile Kigazan Ukaganov, by then giving it to another shomer, he is like a robber, or a and the animal is then established in his jurisdiction, in his rishus, legamre, completely. Vafilu lo'onse misa, even in regard to types of death which are known as. Lamanda islehu taima If that is the theory behind why you can't give it to another shomer, then the only way it will ever be exempt in such a case is if he indeed explicitly gave permission to give it to another shomer. The angel of death killed the shomer's animal. It's yours now. Once you give it to that person and you're negligent in such a way, you're like a robber, and it's your animal. You pay for it. The malach hamavet has killed your animal. Just like the Torah holds a borrower liable because it's in his jurisdiction. If the negligence is just that you let the animal wander off from the pen and it goes to the meadow, that's shia b'shmirahi. That's just being negligent in how you watch it. The law di day he the makeum bershusi the kula onsin, that won't result in the object becoming the shomer's and make him liable for all onsin, elo onsin shabau mahmas osob shia avalolo onsin misa. Says the Rashba, how liable you are, whether we require ones mahmas ab shia, depends on the degree of negligence. Shomer samaslo shomer, that's Hoshea Gamor, that's like the Rabban described, that it's ukmei bereshusei, it's in his jurisdiction, that you'll be chai for everything. Shia b'shmira, not watching it appropriately, that's what Rava says to Abaye, that's not complete shia, that's just not watching it in the best way, and you'll only be chai for the own sin, which emanate from your negligence. You have a similar idea in the Ritva, although actually a different line. The Ritva is bothered by the following, quotes Tosfos's question, which is, the Gemara talks about how, what happened in this case? You didn't lock up the gate, and therefore the animal went to the Agam. What does the Bai say? Well, the heat in the meadow killed it. What if you brought the animal to the pond? The meadow, I keep saying pond. What if you brought it to the meadow? Can we say the same thing? Why does it need to be a case where you didn't lock up the gate? We should just say, according to the Bai, if you take an animal and bring it to a meadow, you're chayiv. Because half of the Agmutala. Maybe the heat of the meadow killed it. So the Riva answers as follows. Take a look at the second line in the Riva. For Tirtsu, Tahava the Agam Moshkiya Tikotalachiv Elahit. It's not that we're saying the heat of a meadow is a frequent cause of death. The Hekhod Hipasha the Gabi Milacharina. Talina bakol midi vafilu mils loskicha kevan de efshar demayis klal machmate. Since you were negligent in another way, you were negligent in that you let it leave the pen and it was susceptible to robbers and other wild animals. That's why you are liable for all types of death. Vedaka kiha dehacha shab shiha rishonai sab shigmura. That's specifically in this case where it was a complete and total negligence. Came in Shalol Nol, but for now, Karai. Ufasha Balagabi Ganavim Vezeim Beholavar. Since you didn't lock it inappropriately, and you were negligent in regard to robbers and wolves. Masha Inki, Betrifa de Irvini, in the case we talked about where you hide the money in a hut. Tafilu Mai de Pasha Lagabi Nirloi Sabshi Gemura. That's not complete negligence. Okay, you didn't do the best job, but putting it in the hut wasn't the worst thing in the world. It just wasn't the best way of watching it. Sometimes people hide it there and then a fire doesn't happen. So here, a different line, but the Riff is saying, when will we say whatever happens is your fault? That's by Pshia Gemura, and what he's calling, even in the case of not locking in the pen. But just by not watching it in the most appropriate fashion, that's not Pshia Gemura, then we do need to confidently say the reason it died was because of your negligence. So we see then that this question of the liability that Pshia creates might depend on the degree of Pshia. So before we get to some test cases of, you know, how effective Pshia is in making you liable, I wanted to explore one more question, which is, what about the opinion which holds Hilasho Pshia Besov Bones Pator? Right? Until now we've been talking about the Manda Amar Chayav, And does the onus need to be mahamas of Shia or not? We explored both opinions. What about the opinion that says you're never liable for tchilas of Shia v'sof onus? So, simple suggestion would be that Shia doesn't really do anything. Meaning, if the animal dies, we ask, is it your fault? Is it not your fault? If it's your fault, you're chayev. If not, then you're not chayev. But just not, when you don't lock the animal in, nothing really changes at that point. It's just when it dies, we'll say, well, the reason it died was because you didn't lock it in. And if you can't say that, you're putter. There is, however, another way of looking at it. Take a look at source number 23 in the Shita Migubetzes. So here he's quoting the Shita. I don't know who the Shita is, but apparently it was a significant enough of a rishon for the Shita Migubetzes to quote it. So it says the Shita as follows. Hacha chayev, my taima hava da'ag makitala. So the Shita as well is dealing with the question, what if you actually bring it to the agam and you don't, it's not that you let the animal free and it went there by itself. He says, v'lo mikri pshia berua l'gabe havla. It's not considered a complete negligence or a clear negligence in regard to the heat. Kevin delo barir hezek havla ela mitoch pshia seitzila talin b'chol midi. Right? Again, we're not saying that every time you bring an animal to an agam, that's negligence. We're saying that because you were negligent in not locking it up, and it's possible that it died because of the heat in the agam, we'll pin it on your negligence. And it's like chilasu b'shivas obonisu. However, the Shita is now explaining why Rechayev, even according to the mind of Amar, chilasu b'shivas obonis pater. Right, the Abaye says that your chayev, even if you generally think tchilasu v'shiyah sofa ones is not chayev. So why then would you be chayev? If we're really saying that bringing it to the agam is not pshia, why should you be chayev? Isn't it an ones? He says, Ella, kishe yiv barur lanusha sofa ones gamor, if it's an ones gamor, if it's a complete accident, it's totally uncontrollable and unexpected, something you wouldn't have expected, Hare yatsa min apshia bevadai upater. Then it has escaped the realm of negligence, and that's why you're exempt. Ukushu misopakim sofa ba'onis. If we're not sure if it's an onis, then mukmina leachas kase de pshia sayetzia, velom if the rinami safek, says the Shita essentially. Just like there are different cases of pshia, there are also different cases of onis. There's ones gamor, which says the Shita, why are you pater in a case of ones gamor? Because it became clear that the cause of the death was not the pshia, it was just the ones. In a case where we're not 100% sure, it's a middle ground, it's not quite pshia, but it's also not quite ones gamor, it's sort of in the middle, like hava da agma, then we'll say you were definitely negligent, it might have been an ones, and therefore will hold you liable. However, I think what you see from the Shita is, it's not that Chilasu v'shia v'sofa ones pater says the Pshia was ineffective, didn't do anything. What it is that when there's an ones gamor, well, that neutralizes the effect of the negligence. We're saying that we can't blame the cause of death on the negligence, we can only blame it on the ones, because it was an ones gamor. The ones is not just a neutral factor, it ends up causing you to be exempt. It's a tor. So that's just another way of viewing this this opinion. In light of all of this, well, and this is what we'll end with, I just wanted to investigate a few other cases, not within Chalas or B'Shiv Soba Ones, but generally investigating the effect that negligence has. Does negligence create an obligation at the moment of the negligence? Take a look at the first, in source number 24, the Gemara has the following case. Amar Rava Hiniach Lehen Aviyem Parashu'ula Mishtam Shembal Koy Meshe Lasa. So the case is a person, or a number of people, inherited a borrowed item from their father. And the father passes away, so they can continue to use that object the entire length of the term of borrowing. Mesa, ein chayavim be'onsa. Then if the animal dies, unlike their father, they won't be liable. They didn't accept the responsibility to use this animal, and therefore they will not be chayav for onsin. If they thought that the animal was their father's, and what happens, you know, you see this nice cow in the pen, you're like, wow, this looks great, you know, it's a good Shabbos suda, you slaughter it, and then someone says, oh, that wasn't Abba's, that was actually somebody else's, we just borrowed that. Okay, what are you chayiv? Mishalman me basar bezol. So you pay the minimum amount for cheap meat. You don't pay the full value of the cow, interestingly, which we'll explain. You pay less than that. Whatever you would have paid for the cheapest meat on the marketplace. However, if their father left them an estate, real property, then they have to pay the full amount. So the Muki Yosef is bothered here. Why? Why should it make a difference? Whether or not, if we're going to say they're not chayav for own sin, and it's not their fault that they slaughtered this cow because they didn't know, so why should it make a difference whether or not their father left them in a state? Says the Muki Yosef, if you take a look at what I have there in bold, the third line, that by slaughtering it, it is negligent. Where was the negligence? He should have told them, this is not my cow, it's borrowed. That was negligent. Says in Muka Yosef, since you're negligent, that already it creates a lien on the property of the father in his lifetime from the time of the negligence itself. He's already chayav. And therefore, afterward, when the animal dies as a result of that negligence, that's the chiv already kicked in, and the farshim are obligated to pay the value from the estate. Right? And he says, in a similar case, if you... if you borrow a donkey and you give it to someone else, and then an ones happens, so then, and we don't know whether it died because of the ones or because of some other reason. He says as follows: if you take a look at I'm going to read the whole thing. Makak was Yerazal. We're on the fourth line. Dimishas pshia garemas the ones mischayav v'shoal el. The shoal is chayav from a time of negligence. V'naf gemil l'shoal chamor lurko l'ashlucho u'mesa baderech. If a person borrows a donkey to ride on it, to ride a shliach on it, and then it dies. V'adavar savik and machmas malacha mesa v'imla. We don't know if it died in the line of work, which a shoal is potter for or not. D'cheimun d'chayav l'anshin u'chayav le'a chas onsin harayu potter. Generally, you would say, since you're not chayiv until the ones happens, you're putter. Why? Komer enyo de'im hilvisani. You don't know if you were chayiv. Aval ashoel aseh chamor l'kov v'lev nos l'shucho. If you don't have permission to give to someone else, v'hadavar safek imesu b'shio b'ones, and then we don't know if it died because of your negligence or not, chayiv, sharehu poshea aleh kishen nos l'shucho. By giving it to somebody else, you are negligent. Sharei in a shul rashai lahashil, a borrower cannot lend out to another. V'mischayev mishas pshia, you are liable from the time of negligence. Harizek omer hilvisani veino de'en praticha, being negligent and not knowing whether or not the animal died because your negligence is like lending money to somebody and not knowing if you paid them back, or borrowing money from somebody. So there's in halacha there's a difference between a case where I'm not sure if I ever owed you money, or where I know I owed you money, and I'm not sure if I paid you back. The latter one is much more strict because I'm agreeing to the chiyuv, and I'm just, the suffix is whether I relieve myself from that chiyuv. And that's the case in Shia. So, is this a sensible argument? Should we say that Shia creates a chiyuv b'shas aviyem? So I think it depends on your perspective. If you take a Tosfos perspective, or what the Rif argues for Abaye, then yes, the Shia is liability. If you take some of those other perspectives, it's not that Pshia creates liability, but you're chayav for the onus later on, maybe less likely. Just to mention a few more before we go on, there's another question in regard to yukra v'zula, if the animal depreciates or appreciates in value between the time of the Pshia and the actual death. Do we make you pay the value at the time of negligence, or do we make you pay the value at the time of death? Should again be contingent on these various perspectives as to whether or not negligence creates liability. And finally, what if you don't know? Same case. You don't know whether or not you were negligent or not. So you don't know if when you left the animals was a normal time to leave them or not. What do we say? So if you look in the source number 28, we say you're chayiv. We say in a case of suffix, if we're not sure whether you could have saved the animals, you're chayiv l'shalim. The Shach says, I don't really understand why. First he says, maybe we assume you could have saved them because that's the normal case. And he says, I don't know about that. Maybe the reason is because you have to take a shvua that you weren't poshea and you can because you don't know. Like so says simply, the reason you're chayv in a case where you don't know is because pshia creates liability. We know you were poshea. We don't know if it would have made a difference. But since you were poshea, it's like you're already chayv. It's just a question of whether or not you relieve that chiyuv and therefore you're chayv. So I think what we've seen is our various perspectives on pshia, and it's not necessarily contingent upon whether or not chilas of pshia v'sob ones chayav, and based on those perspectives, it relates to a number of different cases as to whether or not negligence creates liability. Shkaya, Shav.
First, Alex, I'm going to give a very fast overview of the Seder Chazara that's happening in the next week.